Well, yesterday they celebrated Mother Archavigraha's disappearance day in India. And I had a Skype call with the devotees in Mumbai. And there was very nice discussion about Mother Archavigraha. And they also, you know, set up a nice altar and offered a nice feast. So, because I spoke yesterday, of course we could speak again and again about her, but I think rather than just speaking as such, I would open the floor to questions. Any question, and then I will respond. You all heard what I said?
Yes.
So, I guess if anyone has a question, or you can raise your hand. Okay.
Malika has a question.
Hare Krishna.
Well, I just keep saying about how in the last days that she has received so much of mercy, and she had joined ISKCON in the last stages of her life, but she really had a lot of mercy by all the pure devotees. So sometimes devotees wonder, they may be following Krishna consciousness many years ago, but they somehow feel that they're not getting the mercy. And here we see Mother Archavigraha as being a pure recipient of so much of mercy. Could you please explain to us how I
want
to actually understand how this mercy actually comes.
Understand how what?
This mercy actually comes.
Well, what do you mean by mercy? In other words, how do you reckon that Mother Archavigraha received a lot of mercy?
At the time when she actually left her body, she was surrounded by so many pure devotees, and she was actually hearing so many wonderful pastimes of the Lord, and obviously it's through some piety and some good karma that she actually attained that mercy.
Would anyone like to try to answer this question?
Yes,
I understand. So I'm trying to bring out some wise thoughts from this assembly of saintly persons and sages in answer to your question. It's a very good question, and I'm sure that these learned scholars and practitioners will have insights into the answer to your question.
Yes, Maharaj, I think I think Saradhana is also
helpful. Sorry?
Sorry?
I think Saradhana is also helpful to answer the question.
You can help answer? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, one of the things that I think that attracted so much of mercy to Mother Bhakti. To Mother Archavigraha was a very urgent sense that she had about her to serve Krishna, serve Srila Prabhupada, her spiritual master, and all the Vaishnavas. She seemed to have a very urgent nature about it. And because she was so urgent and she was so eager, I think these are some of the two qualities that sort of impelled Krishna's mercy just to flow to her, especially when she needed it at the final stages of her life. So I would say urgency and her eagerness to serve and to attract Krishna's mercy is what attracted Krishna's mercy to her. I hope that helps. That's how the time he was like to.
Well, one, she was a very famous personality, and she surrendered, you know, so enthusiastically. She went to Vrindavan and then surrendered eagerly. And so that attracted all the great Vaishnavas to her. You know, that, I think that surrender got her a lot of mercy. Mm-hmm. And, I'm an old lady, I had another point, but I forgot. You might remember, I'll tell you again.
All right.
Good night. Guru Maharaj, I think it was in 2011 when the Buddha welcomed all the Krishna Balaram deities in the hospice. Raghunath Bhatta and myself managed to squeeze into that room to witness the authority for the welcome of the deities in the hospice. And the main doctor for the hospital, he made an amazing statement about any devotee who passes away in Raman Reti. Krishna and Balaram drops everything to personally embrace the devotee that passes away in Vrindavan. So I just wanted to share.
Nice. Any other thoughts?
Any other thoughts?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I've also heard Mother Kunti Devi mentioning that Mother Archidiana, well, for one, she would always just wake up and chant three rounds before anything. And also again that, you know, whatever she did, she made sure that she followed her guru's instruction 100%.
Nice. Any other thoughts?
Guru, I was thinking about this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmanda Brahmitai Konya Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Mm-hmm. Lord, the millions of souls are wondering, one fortunate soul, Bhagavanji, gets the mercy of Guru and Krishna and the seed of Bhakti is planted in time. So I guess she was one fortunate, very, very fortunate soul in that sense. To get the mercy. And I could also add that she had a low but agreed to get that, to her efforts. Wonderful mercy.
Yes, that's nice. One more. At least.
And also Krishna chooses to whom he will give his mercy in such an unlimited.
Alright, thank you. Some of the points that came up yesterday. One point was that there was a time when I was at the Yeovil Center and I was extremely sick. And could hardly breathe. I mean, for a few moments, I thought I was going to leave my body because I couldn't breathe. And, I just surrendered to Krishna and then, internally surrendered completely. And then he allowed me to breathe a little, and somehow Mother Archavigraha learned about the situation, and she took the matter in hand and rushed me to the hospital. And they said, if I'd come any later, I might not have survived. Devotees made the point that by the way she took charge of the situation, she saved my life. And then she organized for my care during quite a long and difficult period of recovery. So that was one point devotees made. Another was that she Yeah, she was very selfless in her service. She could set aside, you know, sleep and food and practically anything if required to do service. It was the rule in Vrindavan that no women should go on the altar, but the pujaris there, they actually wanted her to paint the deities, but no one could know. So she would have a regular day of service, and then at night, after the deities had been put to rest and the devotees were asleep, she would come on the altar and she would paint during the night. And then just before the devotees came to wake up the deities in the morning, she would, you know, sneak off of the altar and yeah. So she was really ready to sacrifice anything for the sake of service. We recently came across a letter of hers in which she mentioned that, it's quite a long letter and it was very instructive. But within the letter she mentioned that she was extending herself as much as she could for service, and it did affect her health, but you know she felt that her service was more important, and she just accepted it as a fact that her health would be affected, but she took her service to be more important. First, many devotees commented about how special she made everyone feel, because she completely gave herself to everyone who came to her. And, you know, I think one very nice talk yesterday was given by Hari Priya Dasi from Mumbai. And she told how I had invited her to Vrindavan, to cook for the devotees and to serve the devotees, because the devotees who were taking care of Mother Archavigraha were fully absorbed and engaged in her service. And so they didn't have any time to, you know, cook anything for themselves or take care of their own things. So I invited Hari Priya, who was not initiated then. She was initiated later. And so she came, and she was, cooking for the devotees and serving the devotees who were serving Mother Archavigraha. So then at one stage, I introduced her to Mother Archavigraha and, you know, explained what service she was doing. And Mother Archivigra was, you know, very ill at that time. But she was just like patting Hari Priya, you know, just like stroking her and saying, you know, how nice it is that that she's doing that service for the devotees. And you know, inquiring about Hari Priya's welfare. And Hari Priya felt that it was really extraordinary that she just kept like patting her and stroking her just like an affectionate mother. And even though she herself was in so much pain and difficulty, she was, you know, concerned about Hari Priya. And, you know, she loved Vrindavan, and she wanted other devotees to have the same opportunity she had to leave their bodies in Vrindavan, but with better medical care than she had. And of course, her desire led to the creation of Bhaktivedanta Hospice. I think those are some points. You know, I also made the point that she was not at all in the bodily concept of life, and she saw everyone as, you know, spirit souls, and therefore she could relate to everyone without any consideration or any reservation, and because of that she attracted all sorts of devotees from all different backgrounds and histories and she welcomed them all, she embraced them all, and they also embraced her because she was so much on the spiritual platform. And she always had her sense of humor, you know, even at the end. And it's true. She, you know, quite early on, she was in extreme pain. As many of you may know, His Holiness Bhakti Bringa Govinda Swami was living next door, and he would come and visit her. And you know, once he came and she was like so miserable. She was always a very strong person, you know, very stoical. She didn't like indulge in feeling sorry for herself. But this one time, she was just in so much pain that she was weeping. And Govinda Maharaj started to speak to her about Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. And suddenly her whole mood changed. And she had the realization that the only way that she could be, be free from the pain or forget about the pain would be to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And so that that pain, which ordinarily we would think of as a curse, in a way became a blessing for her, because it was an impetus for her to always be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And in that vein, it's true, many senior devotees came and spent time with her. Burijan Prabhu would come every afternoon at 5 and spend an hour with her, you know, speaking about Krishna consciousness, and also, you know, just talking with her and giving her advice. Many devotees came, and so many senior devotees, besides Govinda Maharaj, Shivaram Swami, Tamal Krishna Goswami, many of the stalwart disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes we would read to her together. One of the books was Lalita Madhava, a drama by Srila Rupa Goswami. And so different devotees amongst us took different parts in the drama, and we would read the lines of the characters that we were playing. And so the idea was, like, you know, somehow or other, all the time, chanting and hearing about Krishna, remembering Krishna. But up until the end, she was also a strong preacher. Yeah, I remember there was a couple from Yugoslavia who were they were visiting Vrindavan, and she was very kind to them, but she was just really saying, you know, chant the holy name, serve the spiritual master, just, you know, her heartfelt realizations and conclusions with a, you know, completely lucid mind, full conviction, and genuine care for those young people from Eastern Europe. So many devotees commented about her mood of service to the Vaishnavas, and it reminded me of something I heard here in Dallas just two or three days ago. One devotee here named Arjuna Krishna he did a lot of personal service for Tamal Krishna Goswami, but he felt that he wasn't really making so much advancement, so he asked Tamal Krishna Goswami, you know, somewhat similar to Malika's question, he asked Tamal Krishna Goswami, you know, how can I, please Guru, how can I please Krishna, how can I get mercy? And Tamakrishna Goswami replied that if you serve Krishna, the Guru will be pleased. And if you serve the Guru, Krishna will be pleased. But if you serve the Vaishnavas, both Krishna and the Guru will be pleased. So that was, of course, Mother Archivigraha did all. It's not one or the other, but she served Krishna, she served the Guru, she served the Vaishnavas. And, yeah, she's very selfless in her service, very selfless. When Mother Kirtida passed away, also very wonderfully, Keshava Bharati Das Goswami was staying with me in Carpentaria at the time. And so we had a talk. What is it that, you know, enables someone like Mother Kirtida or Mother Archivigraha to have such, you know, glorious departures, you know, to attain such an exalted state of Krishna consciousness. And Keshava Bharati Maharaj answered, and his answer was selfless service, that was what qualified them. All right. Well, that was a good question. Anything else? And that was fairly complete. So any other question on any subject? Yes.
Hare Krishna Bhagavan. I was recently listening to a class you gave during the Varshana Japa retreat, which was a few years back. And you spoke on a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about Ajameel. And you mentioned one point that struck me, that I can't remember the exact word, but you said that Ajameel was able to chant the holy name of the Lord at the time of death. And there is like a concession or type of thing that's granted. If one is able to chant the holy name at the time of death, then there's some special consideration, even though Ajameel, he did not live the life of, at least the latter part of his life, he did not lead, like, for instance, the life of Maharaja Vigraha. So I was just wondering if you could elaborate more on that point or that circumstance where one is somehow other able to chant the holy name of the Lord while leaving one's body.
Well, you know what? Whatever you're most attached to is probably what you'll think of at the time of death. And therefore, maya sakta manaha partha, we should try to increase our attachment for Krishna. In the case of Ajameel, he was very attached to his son. So at the time of death, when the Yamadutas came to drag his soul from his body and take him to be punished, he cried out for his son, who was named Narayan. And because he called the holy name of Narayan, the Vishnu Dutas, the messengers of Lord Narayan, came. Now, various authorities have commented on this incident, because he wasn't intending to call the Supreme Lord Narayan. He was calling his son, who was named Narayan. But in his childhood, he did engage in the service of Lord Narayan. Only later he fell down into grossly sinful activities. So the authorities say that when he chanted the holy name of Narayan to call his son, he remembered the original Narayan whom he had worshipped in his childhood and youth. Now that chanting was considered to be in the stage of Nam Abbas. And the effect of chanting in Nam Abbas is that one becomes freed from sinful reactions and freed from hellish punishment freed from material desires. So that chanting, it wasn't pure chanting. It wasn't sufficient for him to go back to Godhead, but it was sufficient for him to become free from the hellish punishments that were awaiting him for his sinful activities. And by that chanting in Nam Abbas, he got the association of devotees, the Vishnu Dutas, and he got to hear the instructions of the devotees, the Vishnu Dutas. And that great attachment that he had, for his wife and children and home, he became freed from that. And so he was able to leave those attachments and go to Haridwar to engage in devotional service, in bhakti yoga. And then when he was perfect in bhakti yoga, when he was able to chant the holy name purely, he was eligible to go back to Godhead. And at that stage, the Vishnu Dutas came and took him on a Vaikuntha airplane to the spiritual world. So, the real thing is to become attached to Krishna And being attached to Krishna necessarily means being detached from Maya, from the bodily concept of life and, you know, things pertaining to the body. But yeah, the real thing is the condition of the heart, what one is most attached to. Because Srila Prabhupada gives the example that a parrot can chant Hare Krishna. A parrot can learn to chant Hare Krishna. But when, you know, if the bird is attacked by a cat, then there's, it'd be not, no more Hare Krishna. It's just going to be kah, 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 kah. Because that chanting was just, it was just in the lips. You know, it wasn't really in the heart. And what was in the heart was this kah, 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 kah. So, yeah, when we chant, we want to really welcome Krishna into our heart, the holy name into our heart, through the ear, through hearing, you know, hearing attentively, so that our attachment for Krishna increases. Maya sakta mana partha. And also reading Srila Prabhupada's books, especially, that will purify the heart and increase our attachment to Krishna, so that we become attracted to Krishna's qualities, especially his love for his devotees, and so we become inspired to surrender to him and want to serve him. And then that combination of the chanting and reading or hearing and then explaining, preaching, distributing books, distributing the knowledge, that will also get us Krishna's mercy. And so then we're actually engaged in the process of liberation, and so we can chant at the time of death or remember Krishna at the time of death, and you know, within our hearts at least cry out to Krishna. And be placed in a position where we can continue our service to Krishna in a better way. Did that answer your question, or was there more to your question?
That answer my question. The main point you made was developing attachment to Krishna. I think that's the main crux of the answer.
Yes. Because there, Rupa Goswami gives the definition of sadhana bhakti. And part of the definition of sadhana bhakti is the process by which bhava bhakti, which means love for Krishna, is awakened. So we engage in these practices of sadhana bhakti with a goal. And the goal is, to awaken our love for Krishna. So we when we chant, you know, we should be purposeful to purify our hearts, to awaken our attraction for Krishna. But the first thing is to hear. And so, you know, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu often says that we should keep it simple, and when we're chanting, our prayer should be to be able to hear. And that, you know, because everything comes from hearing. And to the extent that we're able to hear, to that extent we're able to get the benefit and progress. And the reading. His Holiness Keshava Bharati Das Goswami is here in Dallas, and he has taken up his personal vow to read 41 pages of Srimad Bhagavatam every day. If you read 41 pages every day, you'll complete the entire Srimad Bhagavatam in 1 year. And he reads it out loud. I think that you're supposed to read out loud, but anyway, he has invited people to listen to him for when he reads out loud. Takes about an hour and a half. And so it's a very profound experience. Of course, he personally has great relish for Srimad Bhagavatam, and that comes out in the reading. And, you know, in the beginning, he was just reading. Maybe one or two devotees would come, and I think last night there were about 15 or 16. But it's a, you know, very intense experience to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's purports for an hour and a half. And then do that day after day after day. It really has a profound effect. And then at the end, he serves a little prasad, like hot milk and just some simple snacks. Not a big feast, because he just felt, get into a big feast, it sort of changes the mood, and you're thinking like more about the prasad, which is not bad per se, but it would change the mood. So he keeps it sort of simple, you know, some nice hot milk and, you know, some simple snacks. Just devotees have something, but not to the point where it distracts their minds from Srimad Bhagavatam. And yeah, so those 15 people, they're really, really getting a taste. And they want to continue even after Maharaj leaves, continue on their own. It's such a profound experience. And so then, yeah, and then say in Maharaj's case, he'll get, you know, and he chants 32 rounds a day, so all the good instructions from Srimad Bhagavatam are in his mind naturally when he chants. And that was I believe also Srila Prabhupada's idea in the early days of ISKCON, the devotees would read Krishna book at night before taking rest. And so then naturally in the morning when the devotees get up and, you know, have the morning program, chant their rounds, so then they remember Krishna from the Krishna book. So the two really are both required, the hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Vaishnava scriptures and chanting the holy name. Then you really will develop your attachment for Krishna. You'll lose your attraction for mundane things, and then you can really chant at the time of death. Any other questions or comments? All right, well, seeing so many nice devotees, at one stage I thought of going around the room and greeting each one individually and inquiring about the news, especially good news. Although, actually, there's no difference, because whatever the news is, if we receive it in Krishna consciousness, then it's all good. But I suppose we'll have to keep that for another time.